And in fact, the title of my message this morning is Don't Forget the Egg. Don't forget the egg, because the egg represents the new life that we have in Jesus. Go to John chapter 17, verse 17 to 21. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again, and this command I have received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and he's raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" And today what we're doing is continuing our series in John chapter 10. And what we've done over the last couple of years is we've been in John from time to time and worked through this series of John. And it just so happened, perhaps more through God's design rather than my good management, is that we've hit John chapter 10 as we've come to this Easter season. And what's really good about that is because John chapter 10 in its own way tells the Easter story. Last Sunday we explored what it means for Jesus to be the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd is the good leader, the one who leads us into the presence of God. And it's from that place that we are able to lead others. If you want to lead, you've got to let Jesus first lead you. On Good Friday, just 2 days ago, we explored how the extraordinary act of love of the cross that beckons us, it causes us to respond. There's something about the cross that calls us to lay it down, to lay down our own wishes and desires in a desire to serve God and to serve others. And today on Easter Sunday, the day that we celebrate the open tomb, the resurrection of Jesus, we come to John chapter 10, verse 17, and it says this: "I lay my life down," Jesus says, "only to take it back up again." You see, Jesus is predicting both his death, but also his resurrection. Also the fact that he would conquer death. He would come to life again. And right from the start of this passage in John chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus is introducing an idea or a theme, if you like, that is central to what actually was achieved through the tomb, the empty tomb, and also the cross. In John chapter 10, in verse 17 and 18, Jesus speaks of this intimate connection, of this love, of this relationship that exists between himself and the Father God. You see, the Father loves the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd demonstrates the Father's own love for the world by giving up his life for it. There is this unbreakable, this intimate, sacrificial love that exists between God the Father and the Son, Jesus. What is achieved by the cross and the empty tomb is the potential for each one of us, for you and for me, to have this same experience. The experience of the unbreakable and intimate and sacrificial love of God. God, through Jesus, longs for us to be in relationship with him. You see, God does not hide. He does not play tricks. He's not into smoke and mirrors. But when we look at a passage like this and we see this idea of this intimate connection of love that exists, and we talk about it being a possibility of us to experience that with God as well, we also must ask the question and seek to answer the question that if God loves me so much, why does he sometimes seem so distant? You see, life experience can batter. Loss of loved ones, the breakdown of relationships, debilitating illness, they can all happen. And these experiences cause our confidence in Jesus to be battered. If this is where you find yourself today, then the second part of this passage, I believe, brings to us great hope. Second part of this passage can lead us to a place of restored trust in Jesus. We read in verse 21 to 22 that the Jews were divided in their thoughts about Jesus. There were some who could trust, but there were others who couldn't. They saw Jesus as some sort of madman. And I wonder, what was it did those that could trust Jesus see? What was it that caused them to trust and to put their trust in Christ? When I read this passage about some calling Jesus a madman, I'm reminded of a really famous quote by C.S. Lewis in his book Mere Christianity. It's one that I've shared before, but I think worth sharing again. And C.S. Lewis says this: a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make a choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. Plain and simple, Jesus is offering the Jews a choice that he still offers to us today, that we either accept his claim to be the Son of God or we reject him completely. To accept Jesus' claim as the Son of God, we must answer this question of trust. Can we really trust Jesus? Can we trust the claims about him to be true? We either accept his claims of divinity, or we must see him as a madman. Now, clearly, I think we can trust Jesus. Clearly, I think that his claim to divinity is true. And there's three reasons why I think we can be confident that he is, in fact, the Son of God. The first reason is that the words of Jesus are not the words of a madman. Throughout the ages, there have been believers and unbelievers alike who have judged Jesus' teaching to be a teaching of hope and sanity in the midst of human crisis and delusion. If you're here today and you're not a believer, then I say to you, by all means, bring your criticism of the church. By all means, bring your criticism of Christians. But I also challenge you to investigate the teachings of Jesus. To investigate the teachings of Jesus on doing life, on his attitude to possessions, on his way in which he talks about living in a just way. You'll find that it not only stacks up, but it makes sense. And if followed, it can bring lasting positive change to people and societies. 50 years ago today, on the 20th of April in 1964, Nelson Mandela was on trial for treason. He stood before a court and he uttered these famous words. He said, "During my lifetime, I have dedicated myself to the African people. I have fought against white domination and I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the idea of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and equal opportunity. It's an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if it needs be, it is also an ideal for which I am prepared to die." You see, Mandela's ethic of sacrifice, of laying it down, his ethic of non-violence, his ethic of justice, that was based on the teachings of Jesus. You can go on and cite other examples. Gandhi, Luther King, there are plenty of others, all inspired by Jesus' teaching on injustice and non-violence. All responsible for significant and lasting change. I think you can trust Jesus because his words and his teachings are not those of a madman. I think you can also trust Jesus because the deeds of Jesus are not the deeds of a madman. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He comforted the sorrowing. Jesus didn't seek the limelight, though on occasions that was given to him. He remained humble at all times. He simply offered care, love, and sacrifice. His deeds were not the deeds of a madman. The third reason why I think we can trust Jesus today is because the effect of Jesus is not the effect of a madman. The fact is, throughout history, millions and millions of lives have been changed for the better because people have encountered Jesus. The weak have become strong. The selfish have become selfless. The defeated have become victorious. The worried have become serene. And the bad have become good. We can trust Jesus because the effect that he has on people's lives is not the effect of a madman. I want to ask the worship team if they could come up now. Sometimes it may feel like Jesus is distant from us. Sometimes we ask the question, where are you, God? Where are you in my life? I want to encourage you that you can trust Jesus today. You can trust him to be real to you. We started today by talking about the symbol of the egg. And when you are struggling to trust Jesus, I encourage you not to forget that symbol. Don't forget the egg. When you feel broken, don't forget the egg. When weariness takes over, don't forget the egg, because the egg represents new life. The egg represents the new start that is possible in Jesus. Doesn't matter if you've been a believer for a long time, a short time, or no time. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've come from. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead can resurrect your heart today. The opportunity for new life, for a fresh start, that is available to you today. We're going to sing a final song now, and it's a song that I've chosen called Oceans. And it's a song about trust. The words to this song in the first chorus say this: you call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. The empty tomb calls us out. It calls us to follow, to put to one side that which is safe and that which is comfortable, to go to oceans deep. That experience, that encounter is available afresh to you today. Let's sing this song as a response to the call that God makes to us today, and sing it as a way of your response to his call. Thank you, Mark. Empty tomb calls us to respond. And what I want to ask you to do, if God is speaking to you at this time, to indicate that and to declare that publicly and to show your response, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Come forward now. Out longer than it needs to be. But my sense is today that God is speaking. My sense is that God is calling us to move out of a place of security and comfort. Walking 10 steps is not that hard, but it's uncomfortable and it's not safe. If God is speaking to you, I'm not going to ask you to do anything else, but just to come forward as a public declaration that whatever it is that God is saying, he is speaking into your heart. You are responding to today. And I'll pray for you and we'll release you after that. Is there anyone else? have responded today. I thank you for the preparedness to make the public declaration that there is a sense of your call that is operating, and that today there is a response to that call. There is an affirmative answer that yes, I will follow. I will follow into places that are uncomfortable. I will follow into places that are not secure. I will follow you into the deep waters. But in doing so, in that space, there is encounter with God. There is experience of His Spirit. There is a connection. There is intimacy. There is an understanding that would not otherwise have been possible.